Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Saoirse Holloway. How are you, Saoirse?
Hi, Chris. Yeah, it's nice to be here and finally to get to meet you in person.
Yeah. You've been talking to Jane and all that sort of stuff for quite a while.
Yes, so. Jane and I, we've been in contact a lot on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I've heard your podcast and I think you've got a great voice for it. So and it's nice to listen to. So it's nice to actually meet you in person.
Oh, good. Good. I hope the face represents the voice. Jane's always said I've got a great face for radio. So. What we're going to talk about is the UK Wine Hour.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit about social media and some other bits and pieces. But just a little bit of background on yourself. You're a doctor, gynecologist or something?
Yes, I was in a previous life, yeah. But that's quite some time now. Over the last 3.5 years, I've been working more in the wine industry.
Yeah.
And initially came into it through wine tourism, but then I started UK Wine Hour actually 3 years ago this month.
Okay.
And it seems to have taken a life of its own. So I find myself quite busy with that, very busy with that. So, and I've also started some live events associated on the back of that, which has been amazing. Really.
Okay. Mm. Let's talk a wee bit about UK Wine Hour because there's a chance some of the listeners haven't heard of it before. Mm-hmm. So what exactly is it?
Okay, well, sometimes try to explain to somebody, it's a bit like a radio show because it's on the same time every week, 7 p.m. on Twitter, but it's not a spoken show. It's completely done by tweets. Yeah. Although I do sometimes do a little bit of live tweeting, a little bit of live broadcasting or some video, things like that. But mostly it's purely written tweets. And essentially we have a theme or we have a guest who's got a special interest or something like that. But the general format from the beginning is that I would create a sort of a scaffold for the hour with a welcome at the beginning and then maybe 6 questions that I put out through the hour for people to interact and answer and give their opinion. And people love to share about wine and wine regions and anything to do with wine. And then, you know, although we've technically wrap up at 8, I'm usually carrying on for a long time after that, sort of still making sure that everybody is acknowledged. And I think for me, what UK Wine Hour really does, it brings people together. And so the people who take part are from all walks of life. So we have everyone, you know, just some people who come home from work in the evening, open their glass of wine or bottle of wine, say, oh, I must join and see what's happening on UK Wine Hour. And right up to, you know, I have Masters of Wine taking part. And so it brings people all across walks of life.
You said it's got, you get quite a good range of people attending.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had a look at some of the last show. I haven't actually followed a show, but Jane participates from time to time on them and gets stuck in, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it and there's a fair number of sort of trade people as well as some consumers. So it's a real range of people.
Yes.
Do you know what sort of breakdown it is between trade and sort of general wine enthusiasts?
I don't know. I don't know how I can elucidate that really because it's, you know, varies so much from week to week. It's probably fairly much 50-50, I would say.
Yeah, that's what it looked like when I was looking at the last one.
Yeah, yeah, that it's the love of wine that brings them together.
So if you need to have a Twitter account to participate?
You need to have a Twitter account. That's all you really need. So and be able to type the hashtag UK Wine Hour. So
and if you type hashtag UK Wine Hour and you just follow the hashtag, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes it can... For people who are new to it, it might take a few times just to really get the hang of it. But because when you search for a hashtag or a keyword on Twitter, you'll get a number of columns will come up. And the first one will be top. So you'll get top tweets and people related to it. But what you need to click on is the latest. So then you'll get all the tweets coming up. Recent tweets as they come.
Yeah.
Twitter is not always perfect, much as we love it.
Yeah.
So sometimes tweets just get missed, you know, they just don't come up in the feed, even though people use the hashtag properly.
Yeah.
But so I always do try still to make sure I sweep up and, you know, and make sure I've seen all the responses and, you know, because I don't want anybody to feel ever that I've not, or that I've ignored their tweet because everybody is important to me, yeah. Every single person who takes part.
The discussion, well, the ones I've seen, I only went through a couple of the last recent mm-hmm. ones. It's not really a technical discussion. It's quite sort of what more like what you'd have with your mates talking about wine at a barbecue, I'd say. With maybe a one or two, like the last week they had that rosé lady and mm-hmm. and she's, you know, she gave...
Queen of rosé.
but she gave she was answering questions on that as well. But yeah, there was quite a lot of general chit-chat.
That wasn't the general week because that was a special guest week. So that I hadn't explained that before. I was talking just about the sort of the normal format. But when I have a special guest, I invite people to submit questions during the week before.
Okay.
So then the guest... and can choose, you know, six of those questions that we can he or she can answer over the hour. So it's a very different format. But then everybody still joins in mm. and interacts and also, you know, has their say as well. So even though you've got a very important person, and Liz Gabby is a master of wine, you know, and she's absolutely superb and she was so popular and everybody loved how she interacted with them. You know, everybody else still feels that they're entitled to have their say too, and they do. So, so that was an exceptional week. But you say it's not particularly technical. It can be, and it varies from week to week. So okay. You just probably haven't seen. The week before was very informal because that was about wine and holidays.
Yeah.
And so that was very lighthearted. So yeah. Some weeks are very lighthearted.
Yeah.
I mean, we've even done sort of themes on books and wine and, you know, things like that. So things like that are quite general and light. But then on the other hand, we had Miles Beale recently as special guest, and he's the chief executive of the Wine and Spirit Trade Association. So that was full of very interesting facts and figures. So that was, you know, very serious stuff. So we cover all sorts, a huge range.
So from a business point of view, you know, I'm a businessman doing a free podcast, you're doing a free tweet. How does it sort of work out, stack up for you?
I've had to think long and hard of, you know, where I wanted to take this, because I find that it was suddenly taking up so much of my life, and I can't give away half my life for free all the time. So I have to try and obviously get some revenue from it, which is starting to come in. And it's not just purely through UK Wine. Sometimes it's sponsored by certain producers or brands or...
So you get sponsorship for the UK Wine. So I'm like, UK Wine now brought to you by...
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
And they will feature on all the slides as they go out, and so everything, their name will spread far and wide, and because the reach, we'll come to in a minute, is really quite substantial. But also through that, you know, through it, people have come to me and invited me to be a speaker at events, and even in Italy and other places, you know, and you know, I'm getting some paid work, writing and things like that out of it. So it's just really raised my profile.
You do get, like, we do the UK Wine Show, and we don't charge for it, and we don't take advertisement for it or anything like that. We just produce it because I'm a bit of a geek, and I find it's a good way of learning for me and just sharing that sort of stuff with people. So, but we get revenues from it, but it's not direct, as you say.
Yes.
You know, you get people calling you up. I've done all sorts of weird stuff. Various people have come to me through the UK Wine Show. Yeah. So it does...
It promotes your other side of your business, your wine education and your wine tasting events and things like that. So you're going to get a lot of work through that.
Yeah, particularly now, because my show's probably a little bit more geeky than your one, I think. we do get into some topics, so you've got to be quite engaged to listen to us, whereas your stuff seems to be quite fun and enjoyable. You know, you can be sitting watching TV and just scrolling through and keeping an eye on it. And
I want people to have fun.
It looks quite good.
But the beauty of it, bringing people together, then people tend to want to meet each other as well. So that's where the live events were born out of as well. And that's quite fun. We're going to have at least two in the autumn, a smaller one in Bath in September, the 6th of September. So I have to encourage people from far and wide to make the effort to come to this lovely event in Bath, because it's going to be really super.
Do you know where it's going to be?
It's going to be in a lovely new wine bar called Le Vignoble in Milson Place in Bath.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They have Enomatic machines, so we're going to have the tasting samples in the Enomatics. So it's 32, and then we'll have some sparkling wines and hopefully some champagne as well.
Oh, nice.
And again, it will run on a Thursday, but a little bit longer than the hour. It'll be 6 to 9, and for everybody to interact and get to speaking to each other and tasting wine and having a good time.
And one of your UK Wine Hour lives, you had a guest speakers doing presentations. Will you be doing that?
Yeah, there? We had that in November last year, and I'm going to have one in London in November again this year, back at the University Women's Club, which is such a lovely venue, and they look after us so very well. But I've decided this year that what UK Wine Hour is about bringing people together. So I'm going to use the room that we would have used for that. We're going to also use that for networking and wine tasting. So it's just going to be a big space of people having fun, tasting wine, meeting each other, saying, oh, you're this person from Twitter, or you're that person, you know, and that will be fun. And again, a real cross-section of people come along to the events as well from just your normal wine consumer who has a very different day job. And we have Masters of Wine coming to that as well for fun. And they have fun.
There's quite a range of people. I saw you'd posted some numbers. What are your numbers for the show?
Well, last week's UK Winer, I want to make sure I quote it properly, obviously. So we had, as I said, we had Liz Gabby on talking about her rosé book and about rosé in general and answering some fantastic questions that people had sent in. And by Sunday night, so I had a look on keyhole.co on Sunday to track the hashtag UK Wine Hour. And so it analysed the last 500 posts with the hashtag UK Wine Hour. So the unique reach, so that means the number of unique users on Twitter who would have seen the UK Wine Hour hashtag in their newsfeed was 428,290.
Yeah, that's quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was almost 2 million impressions.
So what's an impression versus...
An impression is a single appearance.
Yeah.
So if you've got...
So some people went to a couple of pages, but not all of them.
Some people might have had 10 tweets on their newsfeed with UK Wine on it, or some people might have had one.
Yeah.
So the number of individuals that actually would have had a tweet of any form of UK Wine was 428,000. Whereas the total number, so that's like the average would have been almost 5 tweets per person.
Okay.
So that's repeated exposure as well. So it's not just that these 428,000 people saw it once. A lot of them saw it a lot, you know. So so it's really getting into people's minds now. And I'm astonished when I'm at events, wine events, particularly when I come to London, and people do come up and introduce themselves to me.
Because they
know me from Twitter.
And it's quite nice, isn't
it? It's amazing. Yeah. And I think, oh my goodness, this is really strange. It's very humbling.
Okay, I had a look at your stats from Twitter, and you've got 1,900 followers, was it?
No,
1,300 followers.
No.
1,900 followers.
No, I don't. I have nearly 6,000 followers.
No, there's UK Wine Hour, and you've got Sorcha.
I do it all from my personal account.
So you've got, I got a little bit confused, actually. So
yeah.
You've got, there is a Twitter account called UK Wine Hour.
Yes, which is I run as well.
Yeah.
Because I thought UK Wine Hour should have its own identity and own account on Twitter. So what I normally do on a Thursday night, I send out the main tweets from both accounts, but I always host as myself. So I will manage the chats as myself. So I have 5,769. Because... For me, it's a personal thing. I don't want UK Wine Hour to be a nameless entity. It's not a brand. It's not a business in that way. It's about personal interaction. So I want people to know who I am, that I'm the person that they're interacting with. They're not just interacting with a nameless account.
Yeah, okay. Because we use 3050 as, you know, Jane manages that account rather than our own personal Twitter accounts. Do you think that's a good idea or...
Well, it seems to be working okay for you. I think, though, and this came up when I was on a panel at the London Wine Fair, we were talking about the best way to use social media. And I think in general, it's important. I mean, you do have on your profile your name, so who you are. You know, at least you're telling people a little bit about yourselves there. People like to think they're dealing with a person rather than a generic body. And the more successful social media campaigns are personal. And I mean, obviously I do a lot of research on this and, you know, even Harvard University have done some research on what people trust, who people trust on social media. And that 42% of people block sponsored ads. You know, so from a getting a message across point of view, you know, companies that just do put lots of money into paid advertising, it's really quite literally a waste of money, I think.
On Twitter.
Yeah. And that's why the role of influencers and communicators is so important, because people like to hear about things through people that they feel like interest. And I think that's why the microbloggers, micro-influencers are becoming so important. And I think another very important thing about social media is engagement. So you might have someone who's a celebrity in the wine world with over 200,000 followers or something that doesn't engage with people at all.
They just broadcast.
Yeah, and maybe not even broadcast very much, you know, but people still follow them because they know the name, for example. Agencies that might think, oh, well, maybe that is a good person to promote our product. It's not necessarily the thing, you know, the right person for the job, really. And engagement, there have been a lot of publications on importance of engagement and rather than the pure number of followers. And this was another thing that I found quite astonishing and largely down to all those lovely people who do join in with UK Wine Hour, I think, and, you know, and follow it and have made it into what it is, really. But apparently what is considered high engagement on Twitter is between 0.09 and 0.33%. Very high engagement is from 0.33% to 1%.
Of what?
That's the engagement is worked out on how many interactions, reactions, likes, retweets,
To a tweet.
Yeah, no, overall, person, the account's engagement, it's calculated by, Twitter does it very well through their own analytics, by analysing the number of interactions people have in general.
With that tweet.
And no, not to do with one tweet. You can have engagement for one tweet, but so they do that, but there's also engagement overall for the person or the account.
Yeah, that seems very low, doesn't it?
When you initially think, if you go to a...
That's the same as the old post op. You know, when they put stuff through your mailbox, you know, people are hoping for a 0.1% result, you know.
That's why it doesn't come across well. There should be a better way of calculating it, but that's how it comes out anyway. But what is very high is 0.33 to 1%. And my engagement rate on Twitter is 2%. And I was actually quite astonished by that. But obviously, it's because of UK Wine Hour and the interaction that we have there. And so there's obviously, because of largely due to UK Wine Hour and the lovely people that engage with me in general through the week, you know. Yeah. So it's not just on a Thursday night people engage with me, you know. Yeah. So it's difficult for people in the industry, I think, to understand, you know, what is a good way of getting the message across.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of information out there on the internet. So I do urge anyone who's wondering how to promote their brand, you know, to have a look and look up things like engagement and the value of followers and things like that, because it would be quite paradigm shifting, I think, if they do.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. And is that your tip? Is that the top tip, is it has got to be engagement. It's responding to people, talking to people. I suppose that's what it's all about, really, isn't it?
That's what it is about. It's social media. Yeah. It's social. That's what it's for.
Not broadcaster.
Exactly.
I'm a broadcaster.
No, I don't mean... Sorry.
No, that's right. A lot of people would say I'm not particularly social anyway. Yeah.
So. No, I think your podcast, it's not just talking at people. You're interviewing people. You're interacting with people.
Yeah.
And people like that. So, whereas people don't want to just be told things, you know, they don't want to just see a blatant self-promoting tweet. Don't self-promote. Engage with people, you know.
That's probably a good idea. And tell me, how's the diploma going?
I've done first semester, but I still have to submit my assignment because I postponed it because we had bereavement in the family earlier this year. So things went on hold a little bit. And then I'll start semester two in the new year.
Yeah. You've got the unit three, isn't it?
I know, looming. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, am I possibly going to be able to avoid spirits altogether?
Well.
With the new...
new syllabus.
New syllabus.
Yeah, that's next year though, isn't it? Just do them. It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's probably a good experience.
I mean, I did my diploma years ago and I didn't really get out of spirits as much as I potentially should have, but now, because... Yeah.
No, you're teaching.
Well, yeah, and the old level three used to have a lot of spirits in it, so it was quite good to really engage with those sort of products.
I guess because I never, ever drink spirits, so yeah. I probably
feel... Not even a gin?
Very rarely. I did a lot when I drank it, but...
We've had to give you a tonic water.
It's a very refreshing tonic.
Do you know what? I do like tonic water just as a drink.
Yeah.
I do find it, you know, it hasn't got the acidity, but you do get that freshness from the quinine, which I quite like. We quite often drink it with tonic water and then maybe a shot of lime syrup or something like that. And that's, you know, you've got the acidity and you've got the sweetness there and you've got quinine bitterness. It's just like a wine, really.
All those flavors. But I think it's very important for me to do the diploma. I want people to understand that I have got wine knowledge and that to give me credibility. So it was very important for me going forward that I did this. And I do encourage people to do the qualifications because I've gained so much from it. And I remember when I did my very first early courses, level 1 and 2, before I started all this, I said, that makes sense. It just makes things come together and make sense. And the more I do, the more I love it, really. And I do think that, you know, I do encourage people who take part in UK Winer to consider it because a lot of them are great lovers of wine. And I think that they would get so much more out of it if they did the qualifications.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But then on the other hand, you know, there have been other people who said, oh, but doing the diploma just, you know, it ruined wine for me. So I don't want to ever get to that stage. So I want to make sure I give myself enough time to do it properly and not put myself under too much pressure.
Okay.
I have had Graham Cox as a guest, actually, on from WSET before. He's super. He was really good, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
He's a really nice guy.
Yeah. I had a little bit of a spat with WSET a few years ago, like most people do at some point in their life, and he was really good and very, very managed my outrage quite well.
It doesn't surprise me at all. But there's a good bunch of people there.
They try hard.
Yeah, they do.
All right, Saoirse, I think we're going to wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. Mm-hmm.